Goed wag, goed wag.
Goed wag.
This Shabbos HaGadol runs over at least two Shabbos. Usually Shabbos HaGadol is one Shabbos, the two parts of the Shabbos. One part of the Shabbos is the Haftarah, when we read about HaYom HaGadol that the Yom Tov prepares us for. And there's another part of the Yom Tov of Shabbos, of the Shabbos HaGadol, that is the preparing for Pesach, preparing for giving the Shurim. The din of Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag has comes down in some way on the Shabbos HaGadol. So this year, the Shabbos HaGadol is split into two. The Haftarah next week and the Drosh of the preparation for Pesach, Klal Yisrael adopted the approach of doing it this afternoon. And now it spreads over to Motzei Shabbos as well. And the some of the Darshanim say that Shabbos HaGadol is a typical Jewish Loshon Sagi Nor, that the that really this is one of the most compromised Shabbos, because it's a Shabbos where we already have a lot of the options of our own Shabbos are limited. Next Shabbos for sure, the real Shabbos HaGadol is not a Gadol, it's a it's small, certainly in the Oneg Shabbos, and maybe a Gadol in the Ruchnis of Shabbos. So that's the Lashon Sagi Nor. That's really like Kiddusha Rabbah this afternoon is a Kiddush with only a Bar Piagofen. The real Kiddush is Friday night, but we call it a Kiddusha Rabbah. It's a Lashon Sagi Nor. It's Klal Yisrael's way of always being upbeat and positive. And the Shabbos HaGadol, some of the Darshanim say that the greatest measure of Godless is to be mevater, is to have space for somebody else. That's very much what we're going to discuss in this year tonight, which we'll come back to this idea. The Shabbos HaGadol is Godless when Shabbos makes room for Erev Pesach. But I want to start by discussing the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. And we all know, many of us have been learning Psachim, either be'ion in the yeshiva or with a different, with tafyomi, different measures of ion. And we know that the mesichta opens up with the mitzvah bedikas chometz, and the machlekes Rashi tells us why we do bedikas chometz. Rashi says we do bedikas chometz in order to be sure that we will not violate the din of Bal Yerov Al Yimotzei. And Tosfos says we do bedikas chometz in order to make sure that we will not come to eat chometz, you know, not find chometz and come to eat it over the course of Yom Tov. Tosfos is discouraging or dismissive of Rashi's approach, because the Gemara says the Chazal made a different takana. You have to do bitul, you have to do kol chamir v'chamiya. So when you do your bitul, you're taking care of the chametz, you will not be everybody yom yimotzei. So the kol chamir is a much more effective way than bedika. Kol chamir v'chamiya, you can't miss anything. So we know that the Rishonim say that Chazal were concerned that our kol chamir v'chamiya wouldn't be b'leib sholem. So we have a bedika and a beetle. So the Taisva says that is a much more effective way of not being over by Rabbi Yimotzei. So therefore, Taisva explains that the reason why Chazal established bedikas chametz is in order that we would not come to eat the chametz that may be lying around our homes. Taisva recognizes that this goes against the preponderance of halacha, where we're not obligated to do a bedika to make sure there's no stam yenim in our homes. We're not obligated to do a bedika to make sure there's no tarfas. We're not chayav to do bedika every so often in our inventory to make sure that there's no ingredients there without an OU and okay, a starkey, whatever, chavke. So this is different. Why is it different? Because when it comes to the mitzvah of bedika, when it comes to chametz, so lebedili yinshe, chametz is an abrupt change erev Pesach, and it's a very significant change over the course of several days. and the abruptness of change and the familiarity that we have with chametz requires us to go the extra mile to do a bedikah to make sure that we will not come to eat chametz accidentally over the course of Pesach. There are nafka minas between the two approaches. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that that one of the differences between Rashi and Tosfos is, would there be a din of bedikas chametz after Pesach? In other words, if a person forgot or was unable to do bedikas chametz before Pesach, and then they come to their home in the course of Chol HaMoed, a person's there to stroll, and their flights were canceled, they're planning to be in Chutz Laaretz and they're home for Pesach, but they're now in Eretz Yisrael, and the airport doesn't open up. So now they come on Chol HaMoed, they have to do bedikas chametz, because they have to make sure that in their homes there's no chametz, that they won't violate Bal Yiroh, Bal Yimotzei. They have to make sure that there's no chametz, and maybe so they won't be nichshal in God forbid, slipping and eating something. Person is traveling on Pesach, he's taking an Airbnb, beginning on Chol HaMoed. So before he goes into the Airbnb, he has to do bedikas chametz. He has to make sure that there's no complimentary chametz that they're giving him as part of his deal, and has to make sure that he divests any possible future kinyan. And he has to make sure there's no chametz that he might come to accidentally enjoy over the course of the day. So therefore, there's a requirement of bedika even on Chol HaMoed. What happens if he now comes to his house, the Ben Gurion opens up and he's able to fly out, he comes home after Pesach? So according to Rashi, there's no reason to do bedikas chametz. Bal Yiroh, Bal Yimotzei, took care of with his beetle, and whether he checks now or doesn't check now, Bal Yiroh, Bal Yimotzei has come and gone. But when it comes to the possibility of eating something which is aser, so we know that chametz she'omer olav Pesach is aser. So now when he comes home, he has to do bedikas chametz to make sure that he gets rid of any chametz she'omer olav Pesach. The Aruch HaShulchan says another nafka mita between Rashi and Tosfos is whether one has to do bedikas shul. So when it comes to a shul, if I left a cracker, if I left a hamantashen in shul, So I am certainly mafker it. I have no interest in it. And the shul is not interested in taking any ownership over this hamantashen. It's hefker. No one's owner. No one's going to be everybody. However, could there be a Jew who comes in on the seventh day of Pesach and says, it's interesting, now they're making potato starch, kosher, Pesach, hamantashen, because otherwise, why would it be in a shtetl over here? And then he figures that he can eat it. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says that if we paskin like Tosfos, then a shul, which is our practice, has to do bedikas chametz. Would we paskin like Rashi, so then there would not be a requirement for bedikas chametz. So this is the basis of the understanding of why we check for chametz, machloikas, Rashi, Tosfos, and here are two well-discussed nafka minas as far as the din goes. I have four kashas that I want to present. And the four kashas are four halachas that seem to be inconsistent with our understanding of bedikas chametz. One of the first one, which is most glaring, is that there is a din, a Gemara, a Rambam, a Shulchan Aruch, a person is traveling away from their home and they will be arriving in their second home. They are snowbirds. They are in Florida for the winter. And they're now closing up their Florida home. They have chametz there. The chametz they're going to sell to a guy. And now they're closing up and they're going north for the balance of the year until they go south again. So do they have to do a bedikas chametz when they leave their home in Florida? So the Gemara says, Raman Paskin, Shulchan Aruch Paskin, it depends. If it's before Purim and there are more than 30 days now between their departure and Pesach, then there is no requirement to do bedikas chametz. If it's after Purim, there is a requirement to do bedikas chametz. The question is that according to Rashi or according to Tosfos, I am not going to be in my Florida home. I'm leaving now. I don't intend to come back. So why am I concerned about that I may come to eat something? I'm not going to be there. When it comes to Bali Rabbi Yimotzei, what does it matter whether it's before or after Purim? If I have to be concerned about Bali Rabbi Yimotzei, then even if I'm leaving Hanukkah time, and if the concern is Bali Rabbi Yimotzei, then post Purim as well. So how does this din requirement to do a bedika and having it depend not on whether I'm going to be in that location in Pesach. If I'm going to be there, for sure I have to do a bedika. But if I'm not going to be there, the requirement depends on whether I leave and close up this place before or after Purim. How do we explain that halacha based on understanding of bedikas chametz? That's why there is even a further source which we paskin, which shows how this din is inconsistent with the way that we understand bedikas chametz, and that is that what we do is we sublet our home to a non-Jew. If I'm going away for Pesach and I want to be free of the din of bedikas chametz, and I will not be in my home for Pesach, so we sublet the place to a non-Jew. And at the bottom of our shtar mechira, we have the option of subleasing the house. Why do we have that option? Because we sold all the chametz, but if a person wants to be free from the obligation of doing bedikah, he's now holding after Purim. It's within 30 days. He's leaving to Orlando within 30 days before Pesach. So he has to do bedikas chametz. Why? We don't understand why, but that's not halacha. However, what happens if he doesn't leave his house? He rents his house out to a non-Jew. So does he have to do a bedikah on a non-Jewish home? So even in that, there's a machlokes. Mishnah Berurah quotes two positions. How do we explain that? That I have to do a bedikah? But we take the more lenient view, and as is Beth Abraham's want, we take the more lenient view, and we say that if one sublets your house to a non-Jew, so then we follow the more lenient views and allow a person not to do the bedikas chametz, and we do that before the mitzvah of bedikas chal. Now, there's another quirk to this din, and that is that the Shulchan Aruch writes that what happens if I have no place to go to do the bedikah? So then Shulchan Aruch says, do the bedikah in the non-Jewish home. Now, how do we explain that then? What we do is we offer the opportunity to sublease the house, and we say, do you have a place to do bedikah? Are you going to do bedikah in the place where you're going? Can you do bedikah in the car if you're going to be driving? And if not, then there's a note on the Shtar Mechira that says that when it's subleasing the entire place to the non-Jew, except for a certain room. Why? In order to be able to do the bedikah. Why are we rushing to do a bedikah? We're not going to be there. How do we explain this? So that's the question number one, the 30-day rule. How does that square with our understanding of bedikas chametz? Question number two is that the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk becomes very clear in the Mishnah Berurah that if I have cleaned my room for chametz, I still have to do a bedikas chametz. Mishnah Berurah says, even if a night, tomorrow night, I take a candle and I go around my room looking for chametz, I still have to do a bedikas chametz come Thursday night. And in a regular year, Orli Arba Oser. It's based on the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen was asked this question. Somebody asked Trumas Hadeshen, how, if I have a friend who all he does for bedikah, cleans house very well, he puts out three pieces of bread. Once he finds the three pieces of bread, wraps it up, he's done. He asked the Trumas Hadeshen, is this called bedikas chametz? So Trumas Hadeshen says that is not bedikas chametz. Bedikas chametz is that one is looking around the house. He says, go to Yerushalmi, that even if I have checked my place, and he says, maybe I didn't check the Chorin to stock it. But even if I check the Chorin to stock it, the Mishnah Berurah points out, Shalolach Halek, what's Shalolach Ben Bedika Lebedika? Why is that a concept? What is the concern? Some people have clean homes and they've checked and they've been working for months to clean the house of Pesach, and some people have not been working. So that's his question number two. Why should I be doing a bedikah in a room where I'm pretty sure there's no chametz? And not only that, but even if I've done some kind of bedikah with all the formalities of Chazal, but I haven't done the bedikah or lev ha'osar. Question number three is the question of the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua, one of the greatest svarim we have on the Gemara, written in the late 1600s, Yeshua Falk. He was a Rav in different cities in Germany. He was a Rav in Berlin and in Frankfurt and Metz. He had a very, very difficult life. Pnei Yeshua, Yeshua Falk, was a young Rav, and when a gunpowder explosion happened in his home, and the building collapsed, and he was stuck. He was pinned under part of the collapsed structure, and he didn't know if he would make it out. And he dived into the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he made a neder that if he gets out, he will write a pirush on Shas. In that explosion, he lost his wife and one of his children, and but he survived. And the Pnei Yeshua, safe for the Pnei Yeshua, is the fulfillment of that shavua, of that oath, of that promise he made to Ribbono Shel Olam. He'd be married, he had many more children. And he was a Rav in several cities, but he did not have an easy time. He had to leave one city because two Balavatim came to him for a Din Torah, and he ruled as he saw to rule, but he ruled against the more prominent member of the community. And 3 years later, when his contract completed itself, it was not renewed. And then he went to, I forget which city, Berlin or Frankfurt, and there he took a position in the Eibishitz Emden Machloikis, which was not the the winning position in town. So there he was also ultimately banned and barred. They invited him back many years later, but he'd only come back to be the Rav, but he wasn't allowed to give drushes. I'm not sure he accepted the position. But with all of those difficulties, and they are many and they are great, we look back now over the last 400 years, the Sefer of the Pnei Yeshua is one that is people do not stop learning it. When you think about it, certainly until the 20th century, it was a, if the there was a Masechta that we were learning that the Pnei Yeshua wrote about, it became one of the staples. And it was learned. You think about it, even to this day, even though Litvish learning has picked up, nevertheless, I don't think there's a day that goes by. I can't imagine, maybe not even an hour that goes by, that in yeshivas, the Pnei Yeshua is not being learned, studied by countless people. So Pnei Yeshua has a kasha. We call it a bomba of a kasha, the beginning of the Masechta. And he says, the very beginning of the Masechta opens up with kol mokem she'ein machnisin mechomets ein tzarech bedika. Any place we don't bring chomets in does not require bedika. Now that sounds like a leniency. If you have a place you don't bring chomets in, don't do the bedika there. But it really is a stringency, because what it really is saying, and this is clear from the Mishnah of the Gemara, that in order that not to have to do bedika, you have to be 100% sure that no chomets is ever brought in. If you did not bring any chametz in, if you brought chametz in, if chametz could have been in, you have to do bedikah. So the Pnei Yeshua says this goes against all the rules that we have of sofek and rov. He says the probability of having chametz there could be very, very low. The chances of any chametz that has been there being taken out already, very significant. And the Mishnah goes on to explain the very first Mishnah about Me Omru. There's an old din, an old Mishnah, Shnei Shuris B'Martev, that if there are two rows that we have to do Bedika, and the two outermost rows of the wine cellar, why are we doing a Bedika there? So Chazal explained, because maybe there was a meal in which I misjudged how much wine I'm going to need for that meal. And I decided, even though I misjudged, I'm going to get a new bottle in the middle of the meal. And I'm going to ask one of my one of the people who takes care of the household to go down to the cellar. And we're afraid. So number one, maybe there was a meal in which I ran out of wine. And maybe it decided time to cork another bottle. And then it decided to send somebody down and he took a piece of chametz with him. And maybe when he took a piece of chametz, it dropped. And maybe when the chametz was in there, he fell in between the bottles. And now they were 3 months later. 4 months later. And in the meantime, I've been there several times and I've never seen the chametz. And maybe a rat took it away in the meantime. And if we follow Tosus's reason, maybe I will go into this room and maybe somehow this chametz, which is sitting in between the barrels, will now find its way out. Maybe I will pick up the one barrel where there's a piece of chametz. So the Pnei Yeshua says, when do we find an halacha that we are worried for such a safek rache? It's a sfeika of multiples. And nevertheless, that's exactly what the Mishnah is pointing out. The Mishnah is pointing out, if I have a place where I am sure I never brought chametz in, there's no chance of bringing chametz in. Oh, then I'm parted from Bdika. But the Yeshua says, what I'm really saying is that if there's a slightest safek, if the slightest probability, an off the chart probability that bring chametz, I have to do Bdika in that room. How do we understand that? Chazal made a din to protect me from maybe being over by Rabbi Motzei. So why did Chazal, where Marachik Leches, where they go so far to make a din that I'll be to worry about a situation which is so far reaching? And the fourth question I want to ask is that we have a discussion in the Gemara as to when is the best time to do Bedika, and why did Chazal say to do Bedika the night before? Why should we not doing the Bedika as the Easter comes in? Easter comes in the afternoon of Friday this year. Do Bedik an hour or two earlier. So the Gemara says, reason like the mitzvahs, we want to do the mitzvah early as soon as we can. So the Gemara says, reason like the mitzvahs to do in the morning, not the night before. Why do we do it the night before? Because that's when people are home, because that's when it's a good time to do the Bedika, because you have a good contrast. The light works better then. So the question we have to raise is, why did the Gemara even entertain the possibility that it's reason makdim in the mitzvahs? It's reason makdim in means I have a mitzvah, I should do the mitzvah as soon as I can. But I have a practice, which is not a mitzvah. It's a practice that Chazal put into place so that I will not be over a din. Is there a din of his reason when it comes to that? Do we say it's reason makdim in atila sedayim? That we should come home, we're going to have a meal, so let's get to this meal right away. Why? Not because the meal's a mitzvah, but because before the meal, I have to do Nefilas Yadayim. So do we say it's reason, Makdim, Nefilas Yadayim? We don't say that. Shechita, Shechita's a mitzvah, make a bracha. Would anybody say it's reason, Makdim, in the Shechita? The Gemara is very clear. Then when it comes to, the Shana very clear, when it comes to the tevila, a person has to go to mikveh to be able to eat trumas and maizvahs. A woman goes to mikveh in order to be able to permit husband and wife together. So the Gemara says, is there a preference to go to the mikveh as soon as one can go? So the Gemara says that tevila bizmana mitzvah, that going to the mikveh as early as you can, mitzvah, that's what it, because it's a mitzvah, so there, v'tila bizmana. And then Gemara says that there are Amirom who disagree, and they say no, that the tefillah b'zman ain't a mitzvah. Going to mikveh is not a mitzvah. Going to mikveh is the tool that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me in order to be able to resume eating trumas and maizvahs. The tool that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me in order to resume intimacy. So a machloikah says, if you look at going to mikveh as a mitzvah, so with a mitzvah, means that I have to pay a significant money to become the mitzvah, so then there's a din of reason, do it as soon as you can. If going to mikveh is not a mitzvah, but it is a method that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you to say, this is the way I become Torah, can become Torah, become Muteris, then we don't apply his reason, McDemon. We paskin that tevila bizmana lav mitzvah. We paskin tevila is an approach that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us to give us Tara, and we paskin that we should try to go to mikveh as soon as we can, either out of deference for the view that it's a mitzvah, or mishum shalom bayis, or in order to have children, but we don't see it as a one rule of tefillah as reason makdim in the mitzvahs. Now we come back to Bedikas Chomis. Bedikas Chomis is a tool. It allows us to be in a place on Pesach. I'm moving into an Airbnb. I can't go in until I do Bedikas Chomis because I have to make sure there's a Chomis there, because I can't take ownership of a Chomis because I have to be afraid not to eat Chomis. But it's not a mitzvah per se. So those are the four kashas. The Dikas Chometz is in order to prevent me from being over Bali Rabbi Yivatsi. The Dikas Chometz is there in order to help me not be over, and God forbid, eat Chometz in Pesach. If that's the case, why is there a din that I have to do Bedikas Chometz if I am leaving a place and within 30 days of Pesach? Why is there a din that I have to do Bedikas Chometz when the probability of having Chometz there is far below the probability of what halacha usually demands? Why am I doing a bedika in a place where I've cleaned it many, many times? I've gone through this room looking for other things. I've had to look through keys. I had to look for papers. I looked for my wallet. I've gone through this desk, these shelves, over and over again, looking for other things. And I would have noticed chametz. I have to do bedikas chametz. Why? And why would Chazal say that the rule of Zrizin, Makdim and Lemitzvahs, applies to Bedikas Chometz? So all of these ideas lead us to accepting the idea that Bedikas Chometz is a mitzvah. That Bedikas Chometz is not only a tool that Chazal established so that we would not be over din, but Chazal established the checking each room for Chometz as a mitzvah. That's the only way we can justify Zrizin Makdim and Lemitzvahs to be a guiding rule for Bedikas Chometz. It's the only way we can explain why I have to go out of my way to have a place to do Bedikas Chometz. I gave my place to a guy. I won't do Bedikas Chometz. So why do the Achronim say, no, make sure you have a place to do Bedikas Chometz? My hands are not, I'm not having bread. I don't have to go out of my way to until Sidayim. I don't want meat. I don't go out of my way to do Shechita. So why am I going out of my way to make sure I can do Bedikas Chometz? It must be that it's a mitzvah. It must be that Chazal established Bedikas Chometz as a mitzvah, and therefore it is not tied entirely to the probability of Chometz being there. How do we explain? And once we understand it's a mitzvah, then we will require a certain amount of effort to pursue the mitzvah Bedikas Chometz. And we will say that if one wakes up Friday morning, for some reason, one did not do Bedikas Chometz, then one has to be zoriz and do it in the morning, first thing, and do Bedikas Chometz better than davening. What is the significance of the Bedikah being a mitzvah? So let's again explain a little bit better. What we're saying is that when it comes to Bedikas Chometz, the Chazal had a reason for Bedikas. The reason for Bedikas Chometz, the Sibas HaTakon of Bedikas Chometz, is to make sure there's no Chometz in our homes, should not violate Bali Ro Bali Yimotze, and we should not be nushal and eat. That's the reason. But once Chazal made the din of Bedikas Chometz, they made it into a mitzvah, which is defined differently from the Sibas HaTakon. Now, to give an example of where Chazal do this, that they have a Sibas HaTakana and then an Oifen HaTakana, where they have a reason for doing a din, and then they formulate the din in a different way. So we'll give an example very close to our hearts, and that is the Rav's, Rav Sheber's understanding of public tefillah, the Chazaras HaShatz. Gemara is clear that Chazal were concerned that there were Jews who are not literate enough to be able to daven, and they wouldn't be able to daven. So therefore, Chazal established that we should have a Jew who will read the Shemoneh Esrei for all those who are not literate. It'll have to be done in a minyan, Shemei Ka'ona, and then it'll be Yotze. However, Chazal said that it is also that the mitzvah, the way the Rav understands it, Chazal said, once we're making this din of having another Shemoneh Esrei, it's going to be established in a different way. And that's where the Rav would often point out that the Rambam calls the Chazaras HaShatz a tefilas hatzibur, a public tefillah. The reason for the tefillah for Chazaras HaShatz was to help out the illiterate Jew. Everyone should be able to daven, but, and we'll use Shemei Koine for them, but Chazal did not establish an idea of having Jews come together simply to go over the entire Shemoneh Esrei for the literate Jew, we would not be doing it to this day and be saying 19 brachas 3 times a day if it was simply to take care of a Jew that can't read and we don't have any of those brachas in our shuls most of the time. So the Rambam would point out that the Rambam's explanation was the reason the Sivas HaTakana was for the illiterate Jew, but the Ofen HaTakana was an entirely different kind of Shmon Esrei, where Jews would, instead of davening as individuals, we would daven as a tzibur. And since it was a tzibur davening, we could do other things as a tzibur. We could have a birchas koinim, and we could have responsive parts of davening, and we could have a moedim derabbanon, because it's a different form of a davening. When the Rav explained this, so he would point out, he says, if you don't appreciate this understanding of Chazaras HaShatz, he used to say there was a Jew in Boston who was a learned Jew, and he'd bring the newspaper to davening, and he would daven nicely. He would daven Shemoneh Esrei. He would say Kedusha with the Shliach, and when the Shliach Tzibur finished Kedusha, he would sit down, pull out his newspaper, and start reading the newspaper. The Rav found this so bizarre that he started laughing uncontrollably. He said that a Jew could think that Chazal had envisioned that you'd have a shul, and you'd have a davening that's for a few Jews who are illiterate, and the rest of the tzibur should be sitting there with their newspapers during Chazaras HaShatz. He said that was so ludicrous to him that he couldn't. He was laughing, and that's how he understands that the Rambam understood this. The Rambam was pointing out to us that's not what Chazal did. Chazal did not say that this Chazaras HaShatz is for the individuals who can't read. Everybody else is now in downtime. Forget. So what did they do? They said there are different modes of davening. So we will address the needs of the illiterate and make sure that they can daven. But we'll address it by formulating a new style of davening, a new form of davening, by re-establishing a previous form of davening called Tfilas HaTzibur. So that's what we're suggesting over here as well. The Sivas HaTakana, the reason for the Takana, was in order to be able to make sure that the Chomer is in the house. But the Oifen HaTakana was to do a Bedika, to check every place, check every room, to look around. Now, but what are we looking around for? So we have to look at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in its opening Yerushalmi to the Masechta. And the Vilna Gaon, when he addresses one or two of the four kashas that I pointed out, so he points to this Yerushalmi. Because, again, pointing out that bidika is a mitzvah in addition to being something that helps us be careful not to be nichshol, explains to us why we apply reason makdimin. It explains to us why there would be a different calculus in how what and the possibility of bread being there. It explains to us why it would be doing a bidika, trying to get to do a bidika, and doing a bidika even if I'm not going to be in that place of a Pesach. But the Yerushalmi helps understand what this Bedikah is all about. So the Yerushalmi says, "Siv it says, Ushmartem es ha-matzeis, Gibe'etzem ha-yayim ha-zeh, Tzeisi esem ha-yisechem ha-yeretz mitzvayim." The first Yerushalmi on the Mishnah, on Bedikah's Chometz, says, where does Bedikah's Chometz come from? He says, because the Torah says you have to watch over those matzeis to make sure. Why? It's Erev Pesach, you have to watch over the matzis. The Gemara says that the Yerushalmi says, Pasuk says, Berishon ba'arba osa yom l'chodesh be'erev teichu matzis, that on the 14th, the first day of Yom Tov, the Eve, you have to eat matzis. Gemara says, we got it wrong. It's a typo. It's not the 14th, it's the 15th. So Gemara says, no. Maybe we have to start eating matzah on the 14th. Can't be, because the Torah is 7 days and the last day is the 21st. So it's a checkmate. There's no way that we could be obligated to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So the Yerushalmi says, That we should get rid of our chametz. That's what we do. We get rid of our chametz erev Pesach. What does that have to do with the shmartim es hamatzos? So apparently the Rishalmi is saying that the bedikas chametz is preparing the home so that the rooms in our home should be ready for matzah. It's part of the shmira that we give to the matzahs. The Rishalmi goes on to say that why do we have a candle? Because a candle is the best way to do bedikah. Amar Rav Mana, why do we do it at night? Because that's the best time to do bedikah. So it says Rav Mana le'yomar kein. Rav Mana did not learn this way. He did not learn that the reason we have a candle do it at night is because that's the best way of finding chametz. Rav Mana le'yomar kein u'shmartem es hayoyim hazeh l'dereseichem chukas olam. Asei sheyehu hayoyim alayla mishumorin. There's a din of shmira on this place. A din of shmira on this time. So the Yigra reformulates the Gemara by saying that there's a din of shmira of making our homes having no chametz. Our homes have to be mishumarin. Would the din be that we're looking for chametz and matzah? So then if that's the only part of the tvitza, it shouldn't be nichshal. So then if we're not there, why are we doing a bedika? Then why are we doing a bedika if it's post-purim? Why are we looking to do a bedika? Because Chazal said, the oifen atakona, the way we're going to establish this is to do a mitzvah of going to the practice of preparing a space, a place that is shomur, that is safe, a safe space for matzahs, a place where my matzahs will not be at all contaminated by any kind of chametz. So the bedika is a bedika preparing the room. That's what Chazal were giving us. It's preparing the home. I'm going to be bringing matzah. Matzah comes is the matzah without before and after Pesach is a korban mincha. It's a korban toida. It's the matzah that eat in mizbeach and mikdash. So my home has to now be readied to bring in the matzah that could have been part of a korban toida. My home has to be ready for the matzah that's going to be part of the Achilas Korban Pesach. Part of readying the home is going from place to place, room to room, and saying, is this room ready for to bring the matzah? And I'll get you to how I envision this bedikas chametz. I'll give you two mashalim. One mashal is that my wife recalls as when she was very young at home, so they did a very vigorous cleaning, purging of the home of chametz. So every room was very carefully cleaned out for chametz. But they also not only took the chametz out of the room, they took the kids out of the room. So for a night or two before Pesach, all the kids had to sleep in the living room. They had to sleep in sleeping bags in the living room, right? And that was the way they would make sure that there was no chametz getting back into the rooms. My wife, being the older of the children, so she would be the last one to fall asleep. So she remembers trying to fall asleep and be trying to be awake, I'm not sure. And her parents had finished their work for the night, and they pass by the room in which they find, see, Baruch Hashem, all the children sleeping. And she overhears them saying, look at all the neshamas that he brought into this world. That's a different kind of bedikas chametz. That's appreciating what we can accomplish inside a room. And the other picture that came to mind is that she would describe to me that on a Matzoi Shabbos, her grandmother, a Rishalmi woman, would finish off the Shabbos by saying V'yiten and saying part of the V'yiten in the different rooms of the house. And then after saying V'yiten, she would say a tefillah, a beautiful, beautiful tefillah, which she would also say going into the various rooms. It's a tefillah that came to Klal Yisrael in Yiddish. It's called the tefillah. It's called Elokei Avram, God from Avram. And it's a tefillah which must have been composed by Jews, not by Rabbanim Chachamim, because it's in Yiddish. It has been translated into Hebrew. It's in most of one Sidurim. And Matzoi Shabbos, right around this time, maybe a little bit earlier. So it's such a beautiful, it catches the... It catches the heart of a Jew. Elokei Avram, Yitzchak v'Yakov, Shemoris Amcha Yisrael, ahuvecha, watch over your dear and loved people. Mikolera besuka shleimecha, in this protective time as Shabbos is leaving. Kasher Shabbos kodesh ahuva iveris, as your dear, your loved Shabbos leaves, as the upcoming weeks and months comes upon us, le'munas shleim, let them come with full faith. Le'munas chachamim, let us have faith. Let us bring faith in Chazal. La'avas chaverim, let it bring love to other people. Le'dveikus ha'morim, let it bring connectedness to the Ribbono Shel Olam. La'hamid b'shloisha esrei ikarim, to hold strong in the 13 articles of faith. B'gu'ula, to hold strong in our faith and redemption. B'heri yamein, Ribbono Shel Olam. Harayato anoisein la'yoyiv koyach, the one who gives strength to those that are tired. Tein livnei Yisrael ahuvecha gam koyach, give to the Jews whom you love that strength. La'hoideis, give them strength to love you, to thank you. V'lavoyin rak oyischem aloy li'acher chalila, not only to serve you. And that the new month and the new week that come should come with health and mazel and broch and atzloch and chesed. This is how, it's a different kind of preparing a home after Shabbos. Preparing a home that these brachas should find a place in each room. There is a Gemara that had always troubled me till I chanced upon this idea. It's a Gemara that discusses, why do we use a candle for bedika? Now, again, most of the recent poskim say, don't use a candle. We are not careful enough to use a candle. We're not used to using candles. So we're not going to get a good bedika. We're not going to go into corners. We're going to be afraid of the wax dripping. Use a flashlight. There are some poskim who say, make a bracha with the candle, to 2 minutes with a candle, then put it down and use a flashlight. But the poskim say flashlights work. But why did Chazal choose a candle? So Chazal explained, they chose a candle because the light is direct. The light is, the contrast is good. So the Gemara says in Daf Zayin Masachim that why do we use a candle? L'madnu mitziyah mimitziyah. We learn that it says, Shiv as yomim so'or lo yimotzei mimoteichem. You can't have lo yimotzei, it should not be present. How do you make sure something's not present? You look at a pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'chapeis v'gadol hechel u'v'akotan kolei v'yimotzei." When Yosef sent the policeman to look for the becher in the bag of Binyamin, so they begin their search. V'chapeis v'gadol. Now they weren't searching because they knew that the Gevia was in Binyamin. They were simply going through the bags as a game, but they know what they had to get to. They had to get to that bag. It was a preparation to show that there's one bag where the Bechem is there. And then the Gemara says, well, how do you do chippus? There will be a time, because Baruch Hu says, when I will take candles and I will go into Yerushalayim and see, is Yerushalayim ready for Miyaz Goyel? What has to be fixed up? And what neris am I going to use? Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom Choyfis Kol Chan Rivotan. I'm going to use the neshama. What kind of a ner is that? So Chazal are explaining to us that Chazal established Bidika as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go through every room and we look for chametz and we make sure that no chametz there. What's going through our minds is this room a room in which that stands up to the requirements of a ner l'kiv nishmas adam? Will a nishmas adam do well over here? Will then that ner do well over here? Will that ner thrive over here? Every room in our home has to be ready for the chelek elokami ma'al that we bring into those rooms. So Chazal established the mitzvah of bedika to get rid of the chametz. But they said there's a mitzvah of readying space, of making space, measuring space, is space ready for the ner l'kiv nishmas adam. And that's part of our preparation for Pesach, evaluating, calibrating. It's a good time for us to think about these things because we are going to be re-envisioning the space in our homes, Yit Hashem, as this trajectory continues, Yit Hashem, in a healthy way. So this the Zoom balance is going to change. Right now, you can see what's going on in my room, right? For all you know, those could be phony svarim, right? Maybe I put them up just for the Zoom room. I know that when the Zoom room started, so after a few shiurim, so I noticed that many more talmidim had the Chofetz Chaim hanging in the room. Often it didn't match the dull part of the painted room, right? There was something there before the Chofetz Chaim. So that is an understanding that if I'm going to learn in this room, my Rebbe is going to look in this room, I should be a Chofetz Chaim hanging there. So now when we start closing down the Zoom rooms and we more and more learning is taking place in person, the Chofetz Chaim should still stay there, because a room has to be a room that can stand up to the measure of Ner Lakim Nishmas Adam. And as we are recalibrating how we are going to have digital services in our homes, and how we're bringing all of the digital world into our homes, so we have such an opportunity in order to do a recalibration. We have an opportunity to think this through. We learned from Pesach Mitzrayim that we could be very heavily invested in the culture. We could be with Mitzrayim day in and day out. We could be doing their work. We could be building their cities. We could be doing bricklaying for them. But we can take a Korban Pesach and put a little bit of dam on the mashkeif, a little bit of dam in the mezuzahs, and we're going to be able to say that we can come in and leave Mitzrayim outside of our homes. We have an opportunity, a very, very rare opportunity, very rare gift, where we can have this conversation, have this discussion, conversation with ourselves, our families, as to how we, what makes it into the home, how we can be very well aware of the culture, and it can be very important for us to be very well aware and very part of the culture. But a home has to be withstand the measure of a bedikas chometz, of a ner lakim nishmas adam. I was thinking as I was preparing this idea, so I remember coming across a story that the Tshibina Rav of Dobesh Weidenfeld was one of the Gedolim that had the home in Shari Chesed. And he was a home that, as a home of a Godel B'Yisrael, every Jew wrote a Sefer, went through that home. We know that from all the house came out from Dobesh Weidenfeld. And the She'elos Hazaman, the questions, we know from his David Visharim, how the questions came through Abdomer Schweinfeld's house. And we know that there were Jews who needed tefillas and needed the attentive ear. They came through that house. So one day, after Abdomer Schweinfeld was nifter, a Jew meets Rishon Zalman Arbach in the streets of Shaare Chesed and says to Rishon Zalman, he says, I miss Abdomer Schweinfeld's home. He says, because when there were times that I needed a place to daven, so I would go to the chotzer of Dobesh Weidenfeld, the Tshibiner, because I figured a chotzer like this that had Klal Yisrael coming through, and a chotzer that served Klal Yisrael, and a chotzer that had the tefillos of Klal Yisrael, is a very, very holy chotzer. And the davening there must be very special. And Shlomo Zalman said to this Jew, I'll tell you, now that you mentioned this, I'll tell you that there have been times when I needed clarity. And there were times I couldn't figure something out, and the times that I had to pour my heart out. And I went, and it would begin to pace in front of the home of the Tshibina Rav. That's how a person can create a home that is a home that has the capacity for Ner Elikim Nishmas Adam, where a home becomes a place where you can have a Korban Pesach. That's part of the mitzvah B'dikas Chometz. But I want to finish up this drasha by pointing out what the Baal HaGadol points out to us, that as we aspire to prepare our homes in the way that a bedikas chometz, a mitzvah bedikas chometz, prepares a home, we also have to remind ourselves that part of the way that we prepare our homes is that there's room at the table for all the four children. There are many different varying children. So part of the avoda of preparing a home is to make sure that every Nerer Lekim Nishmas Odom, every neshama, has a place at the table. And I want to spend a few moments sharing with you some ideas about the Arba Bonim thought that I had, a story, and then a possible insight from one of the great from the admirer. I often have questioned the position of the Tam. When the Tam says Mazos, is he really that much different than the She'enei De'elisho? Isn't the She'enei De'elisho an honest Tam? Couldn't he also say Mazos? But he says, you know what? Mazos is a question. Mazos, and they get bumped up. Right? Isn't the Tam really a She'enei De'elisho with a Chocham wannabe attitude? He doesn't know what to ask. Mazos is a question. That's a question. He's an any day lishol. So is there really significant difference between the sheni day lishol and the one who figures out this question, ma zos, what's going on? And Chazal is telling us there is a big difference. And we have to capitalize on that difference. The sheni day lishol is a child, is a person who is a I am what I am person. What you see is what you get person. It is what it is, person. The things I don't understand, that's okay. There are people who could teach me something, not necessary. The she'ena, he doesn't know about asking. So the job of a person is to open that part up of themselves and to open that child. That if he's a she'ena de'elisho, psat psachlai, it means a child who doesn't have an interest in any kind of growth. I am what I am. It is what it is. So we have to nurture slowly, step by step, open the child to want to grow. Every child has a different language. Every child requires a different word. But Chazal are telling us a person should try to move him on, open him up, allow him to see that there's a value in he can grow, he can do something. The Tam has made the step. And that's the crucial difference. The Tam may be a Chocham wannabe, but he sees there's a value in asking a question. He sees that this he can pose a question, somebody else can teach him something. Makes all the difference in the world. And then we say to him, Ki b'choizek yon, chetzio Hashem, me'eretz mitzrayim, beis avodim. It's not easy to break out from being a sheni l'sho. Kadosh Baruch Hu did it b'choizek yon. We often point out, my father would point out, that an Eved is a person who doesn't ask questions. So when the Tam says, Mazos, we say, you now have just grown. Because an Eved would not even say, Mazos. An Eved would say, when it's lunchtime maybe, an Eved would say, just give me instructions, tell me what to do. But to say, what's going on? Give me the bigger picture. Where is this going? If you said Mazos, Ki b'chayzek yod, then you have stepped out of your comfort zone, and that's difficult. That requires strength. And Kadosh Baruch Hu did that for us when he took us out of a Beis Avodah. And then I was thinking about the Chacham. The Chacham says, Eid is chukim mishpatim. The Chacham is the nachas machine, right? The Chacham has gavaldik. He wants to know, wants to learn. He knows the different categories of learning. So where is the positive reinforcement? Where is the parent saying to the child, this is gavaldik, such nachas, so proud of you. Parent says, you know what? It's going to be a long shiur. Afeta morlo, ein maftirin achar pesach afikoymen. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. And even after the afikoymen, we're not stopping then. We keep on going, right? That the prize Talmud, and the Rebbe says, this is gavaldik, no benes manim for you. You just keep on going. Benes manim. You have to keep on going. So I got insight into the Chacham from a story that I heard very recently about David Soloveitchik, Zatzal. One of his Talmidim, Ezra Rogers, was a Shiva, I think in Brooklyn. It was on and Rabbi Lichtenstein's program. And he told the following story of how he became a Talmud of David Soloveitchik. He said he was in the yeshiva for a year and a half, never missed a Seder. Morning, night, he's there all the time. One night he missed the Seder. And he comes to Yeshiva the next morning. Can't imagine it's going to be a problem. He hasn't missed the Seder in a year and a half. After Shacharis, when David would daven with the boys Shacharis, he would say for a few minutes after, and he would go home to prepare the shir. So after Shacharis, when David asks this young man Ezra to come over, and this young man says, I can't believe this happening to me. One Seder in a year and a half. So David says to him, where were you last night? And he's a little bit upset because it's happening to him. There are guys who don't show up on night Seder all the time. The guys who don't learn the yeshiva. So he said, I had to be somewhere. Where did you have to be? I had to be in the Chevron Yeshiva. What brought you to the Chevron Yeshiva? There were Hespedim there. Hespedim? Why'd you have to go to a Hesped? Who's Hesped? There's a Jew of Mordechavitz. He says, what's with you in Mordechavitz? He says, Mordechavitz, who's a good friend of our family, Mordechavitz is my tzaddik. So David said, okay, no, good. And then the young man said, can I ask the Rosh Hashiva a question? He said, for sure. He said, Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh Hashiva knows I'm here every night. There are boys who don't learn in the yeshiva at night. And I missed one night. So why is the Rosh Hashiva asking where I was? So the Rosh Hashiva said to him, he said, Ezra, put on your coat and you'll come with me. We'll walk home together. He said to the boy, he said, there are many boys who don't come to night Seder. And they learn in different places. And I don't know, you know, how I can help them out. I'm not sure exactly what the lashon he used. But he said, you were in the sheep every single day. You're there every single night. You haven't missed a Seder. And I want you to know that I noticed that. I want you to know how important it is to me that you're there every Seder. Because I want you to know you are going to be a grow. With you, I can accomplish a lot. And he said, and I'll tell you something else, that because I asked you where you were last night, and because you know that your attendance is important to me, so in a few months, there'll be something else that's going to come up. And it may not be as worthy as going to the Hesped of Bar Mocharot. And if you don't know that your night set is important to me, you may end up not coming to Yeshiva. That's what we tell the Chacham. We tell the Chacham, Eidus Chukum Mishpatim, Afeta Morlo. He says, with you, you can become something of great stature. And Morlo, tell him, if he keeps on working and striving and putting his shoulder to the wheel, then how far he can go. I don't know if that works in 2021, but the sentiment is important for us. And then he was thinking about the child who's not part of the program entirely. He's still at the Seder. He has kashas. He's eating matzah tonight. He's having the arba koses. But he's not a full part of the program. What do we say to him? So I was thinking that I also, because I was thinking about, you know, during Zoom time, there are talmidim who are less present than other times. At the end of the Zaman, I'll sit down with the Menal. He'll ask me to give grades. And for a student who's been there every single Seder, every single Shir, I know what grade he has to get. He deserves the highest grade. A Talmud hasn't been there. He's been there sometimes, in, out. I'm going to give him a bad grade? How can I give him a grade? What message am I sending? He missed learning the Masechta. He missed the opportunity to come into the Yom Tov with Pesachim under his belt. He missed an understanding of Medigas Chometz. He missed a taste of Rambam. So I'm going to tell him that this can be in any way calibrated with a grade. What is a bad grade when it's in comparison to missing a Masechta, to missing a Lima, to missing a Sugya? That's what we tell the Russia. That's what we tell this young man who's not fully present in the program. we say, I was by Yetzias Mitzrayim. I watched the Geula. I watched HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself. I watched him save Klal Yisrael. I watched him take Goy Mikerev Goy. I was by Kriyas Yamsuf. I saw the Ribbono Shel Olam. You wouldn't have seen it. Look what you would have missed. I live in 2021, I have my eyes open. I see that there are prophecies of Yechezkel that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was showing us, the resurgence of Eretz Yisrael. I see the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael. I see a government Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you have open eyes, you see the Ribbono Shel Olam day in and day out. Virus, vaccination. If you have open eyes, you see the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's nothing that's sadder than being alive and not seeing, not witnessing what you're seeing. There's nothing sadder than being able to witness the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing things, the most magnificent Gilui Lakus, and not making use of the front row seat that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And that's the Leil HaSeder. We come to the Leil HaSeder having done a bedika in every single room of our homes. We come to Leil HaSeder trying to prepare every home and every part of their home for the Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam. We come to Leil HaSeder having said we've worked very hard and continue to work to make sure that our homes are places that are prepared to have us grow and come close to Ribbono Shel Olam. Places that our davening is going to be such a significant davening, because Baruch Hu will see what's going on in our homes, the chesed, the learning, the davening, a davening from these homes when we go out there. We come to Leil HaSeder saying we also understand that part of making a home is making a home that's open to every single Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, that with the best of our ability to have a place at a table and a language to speak to every single child, to every single part of ourselves. That's also part of creating a home after Dawn of Bdikas Chametz. Question is, how does one accomplish this? That's one of the great challenges that all of us have day in and day out as we develop our homes and raise our children. There is a Hasidic vort that comes to mind. They're right before the Manishtana. There are instructions. V'chan ha-bein shayel, it's a Mishnah. Now the child asks. So the word Merv was said, v'chan ha-bein shayel, we're all bonim lamokim. Everyone at the Seder is a child of the Rebbe Shlomo. So right before the children begin Manishtana, now is the time for everybody to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Say, look, we did our Bedikas Chametz. We're working very hard to make our homes that are homes of growth and homes of Torah and homes of Yerushalayim, homes of Chesed, homes of goodness. At the same time, we're working very, very hard that every child should have a place at the table, to find the language to speak to every child, to encourage growth, to encourage probing, to having one's eyes open to Kadosh Baruch Hu around us, and to be individuals who will aspire to be great Jews. So right before the Manishtana, when we begin to hear every child, it's a time to turn to Ribbono Shel Olam and say, I'm the Ben. I'm the Ben Hashayel. And without even articulating, but from our hearts, we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we did the Halach Manya. We tried to have homes that are shmurim miyoyim v'layla for the matzahs. And we want our homes to have a place so that all the children will grow and become great Oyvdei Hashem. Now is the time to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to give us that wisdom, that insight, that understanding. And Be'ez Hashem, the night of Seder is a night of davening as well. It's a night of inarticulate tefillahs. Tonight we can turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu in many, many different points. And Be'ez Hashem, all the zechuyas of the preparations for Pesach, and the zechuyas of the Lel Seder. And all of our kavanas and our she'ifas of what we want to be and to be able to give to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So they will stand us in good stead, that the prayers that we have in that night for our children, for our grandchildren, we will kuyomes. Kadosh Baruch Hu will see Klal Yisrael, each one in his own Seder, in his own way. And Bez Hashem, he will be mamali mishalos libeinu l'tayva, and make this Yom Tov a Yom Tov that in our lives in very, very soon order will celebrate the gulas of our own time. Mishalach HaKosher v'Sameach, and thank you very much for the opportunity to share this, our thoughts.
Any questions available or no?
I have a few minutes because I have to be in shul, I have to make Abdullah and be in shul for Mechiras Chometz. So I'm happy to listen.
I just have one fast question.
Okay.
According to Yushami, the way I understood the Yushami was that Yushami holds it to the Raisa. While according to the Bavli, it seems to be the Rabbana.
Yeah, so there is. Yeah, that's it's not necessarily so because the Ran learns the Bavli to be a Raisa, and one can easily learn the Yushami to be a Smachta. But that there is a discussion about whether B'dikas Chometz is Deiraisa in Rabbanan. So I took the entire shul is based on the Rabbanan, but there is the Peshua discusses, raises that question as well. I don't think, and the Ran sees that there, so the way that I would understand it, there'll be another shir, but the way I understand is that there is a B'dik which is for sure Deiraisa. The basis for that is that the Yerushalmi says that after every korban, we would do a bedika to make sure that there's no noiser around. So there is a deraisa de gedin that I have to check. Chazal then added, you know, just like I have to check for teilon and my vegetables, I have to check for shanis, I have to check for chametz. Chazal added another layer of bedika. So that layer of bedika is the mitzvah. Now, I think when the Ran says that the bedikah is deraisa, I think he means like every other mitzvah that you have to be nizer in it. But it is true that the Ran seems to say that using a candle is a deraisa to get in. It's very hard to understand, and you're right that the Yerushalmi can go both ways because the Yerushalmi says imeinu inyan. Some of the mafarshim on the page, they say in Eina Inyan is a deraisa.
Right. They say Eina Inyan is mamash deraisa. Right. We see that in Bavli all the time. So it seems to be a deraisa limud. Well, I understood that Bavli is saying it's the Rabbana. The question is, what was the gzera? So I find it hard to kind of balance one with the other vis-a-vis, you know, the levels, one being deraisa Rabbana. That was it.
Yeah. So the only thing I would say,
thank you,
in defense is that the Vilna Gaon makes this connection. Vilna Gaon, in response to these kashas, he says, "Ayin v'Yerushalmi." So there, the aura is a good aura, but that's what that. But I think that I would say that Vilna Gaon certainly learns it in this way. Okay, I have to get ready for Bedikas Chametz, for Mechiras Chametz, and thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.